Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Expanding to 4 lanes, expanding to 8 lanes, expanding to 16 lanes. Those of you who drive in Los Angeles, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That'll be my destination after spending a couple of days here in Ohio, going to L.A. for the weekend to see my grandson and my two offspring. I haven't done that for 5 or 6 weeks, but I'm trying to do it more often. And I don't know whether my children feel slighted by it because I'm paying more attention, or I'm going there more often because of the grandson. I don't know, because we can talk on the phone, but I can't talk to my grandson on the phone. I can listen to him go, ooh, ah, and do whatever other stuff six-month-old babies do, but it's not like being there and holding him and having him. So that's what this weekend is about. A beaut. Molly's not here, but Richie is. Rich McFadden, Doug Steffen on the Good Day program. We'll be joined by Dr. Joy Brown in a few moments, talking about apologies and saying you're sorry and things like that. When is enough enough, or when do you need to go further? A conundrum a lot of people face, so we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Right now, I'm looking at some of the comments at DougSteffen.com. Well, actually, the email comes through to me, Doug at DougSteffen.com, but I'm also looking at the Facebook and Twitter exchanges here, Richie. John, yeah. One of our listeners, is focused on the whole controversy, the Confederate flag and the symbols and that sort of thing. Some people have called it cultural cleansing. John says, what if somebody gets offended by the gay pride flag or the Black Panther flag? I'm not offended by the gay pride flag, but I'd be offended by the Black Panther flag or what they stood for, certainly. I'm not offended by the Confederate flag. I just don't like the symbolism that comes from it that's negative. It symbolically means something that, in my mind, it was a horrible period, a horror time, horror show in the history of our country. Well, so why would you want to extol the value and virtue of that?
I don't think you'll see the gay pride flag or the Black Panther flag flying over any state houses, so I don't think that'll be a big issue.
Yeah, no, but this business about cleansing, you had read something that Ben Jones, who played the mechanic.
Yeah, remember the Dukes of Hazzard? Remember the guy who played Cooter, the garage mechanic, Ben Jones, from the Dukes of Hazzard? He now owns some retail stores in Tennessee and Virginia that are kind of based on the whole Dukes of Hazzard show and Hazzard County. And he says he stands against the wave of political correctness that has caused several major American retailers to stop selling the symbol of the South and their things. He says, our beloved symbol is being attacked in a wave of political correctness that is unprecedented in our nation of free speech and free expression. Activists and politicians are vilifying Southern culture and heritage as being bigoted and racist. He says the flag has been removed from such places as Walmart and Target and Amazon. It will never be removed from any of our Cooters stores and museums. He says we are the same good people today that we were last week and last year and are not going to be shamed into turning our backs on our heritage and our convictions. We are not racists. We despise racism and bigotry. And we think people who are creating this cultural cleansing are the real bigots in this story.
What do you think? Facebook.com/Good Day, Twitter, Good Day Show. What?
He says, I will fight these people until hell freezes over, and I will fight them on the ice.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of anger there, and that's the problem with this. It brings out so much anger. It's so negative. It's nonsense. It's useless. But it is a focus of the free speech issue, and I can't tell you that in my mind there is any reason to take this away. People want to talk about it, you want to have it, you want to use it, that's up to you. But it isn't something that I'm interested in.
I think that people like him don't see the Confederate flag like
no, they don't.
Some others do.
Yeah, exactly.
We've talked about this a little bit before. The Southern pride, the Southerners are proud of
who are they proud of? They're proud of the history of slavery and racism.
What are you proud of? No. It has nothing to do with that.
What else does it represent? The Confederacy was about slavery.
Find
a different symbol. Find a different symbol.
Well, I think that they think that it represents.
I don't think there's a collective here. I think there's a lot of thinking. Remember, the South has changed a lot in the last 40 years. maybe even the last 25 years with all the Northerners going there. A lot of people I know who moved to the mountains of North Carolina,
Western part of the state, beautiful, moved to Florida, and the, you know, right. When you retire.
More North Carolina than South Carolina. Most of the people I know don't like South Carolina for any number of reasons, but in this circumstance,
Florida is like here, Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
It's hard. If you walk up to 10 people and say, where were you born? You might get one or two that say Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Same here in D.C.
Yeah.
You can't find anybody who was actually born here.
California. Hard to find people born in California.
Good, true. Same for California.
Supreme Court making the decision on same-sex marriage very soon. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Other than that, I think we have cleaned up a lot of the matters of interest and importance for the sake of controversy. A lot of times during radio programs like this, it is all about controversy. Most of it is faked. I'm not interested in that. I'd rather have real controversy and have all the sides represented as much as possible. So let's do that in terms of a different sort of issue. How many of you are good at saying, I'm sorry? How many of you are good at saying, thank you? How many of you are good at apologies in general? There's a whole thing that comes from people, relationships mostly, men and women, who allow themselves to get dragged down into a place that sometimes they can't get out of because they aren't really very good at saying some simple words. Let's talk to Dr. Joy Brown about that in a moment here on Good Day.
Think Green. Harrison with you. Even green sushi lovers have found out how to gnaw on raw fish responsibly. In collaboration with the Monterey Bay Aquarium, the Blue Ocean Institute, and the Environmental Defense Fund, you can now print out a sustainable sushi card to carry around with you. The card lists which sushi to avoid and which to eat. For example, one should avoid both bluefin and yellowfin tuna. Equally, stay away from farmed shrimp, freshwater eel or unagi, along with farmed salmon. Wild salmon and shrimp, of course, are just fine. These card makers hope its carriers will ask sushi bar owners more questions, thus encouraging owners and sushi chefs, say that 10 times fast, to think more about serving sustainable options. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Have you ever heard of teachable moments? Well, they are all of a sudden ways to teach your kids, and they happen all the time. Here's a great example and the science of it.
Come on, big boy, teach me.
The listener wrote her young daughter was reading out loud the story of Jack and Jill. You know, the one where Jack and Jill went up the hill and then he fell. And upon finishing, the little girl immediately quipped. They didn't look after each other very well, did they? The very smart father spotted a teaching moment. What would you have done differently, he asked. The child answered, held on to him. And then Dad added, or look for stairs, or maybe dial 911. What's the cheap psychological trick? Hey, forget the goody-goody of this situation. Seizing simple, teachable moments may just teach your child how to protect themselves down the road. More info at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This right-handed hitter was the 1977 Comeback Player of the Year. He anchored the hot corner for the Southside Hitmen of the Chicago White Sox, a team that in 77 slugged 192 homers.
Soderholm, last one down the line to get the White Sox offense rolling.
So where is Eric Soderholm now? Eric founded Front Row Tickets in 1984, which became a multi-million dollar business in the world of ticket brokering. Eric also opened Sodder World with his daughter, Misty. It's a spa and health and wellness center in suburban Chicago, which has been going strong since 1997.
The key was starting a business and then surround yourself with quality people.
Sounds like a winning formula to me. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
16 past the hour, Doug Steffen and Dr. Joy Brown. Her radio program airs every day from noon until 3 Eastern time. You can join the activity by dialing 855-99-DR-JOY any time of the day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Leave a question. She'll answer it on the air. You can go to her website, drjoy.com, as well. You've just been in Israel for a week. How did you find it there? You went over to, like most of us who are broadcasters that have gone there. I've gone four times. I think it's a fascinating place. This was your first time. What did you take away?
I was actually there for 9 days, which was terrific. The only problem I encountered was complete insomnia. In 10 days, I probably slept like 10 hours. But having said that, they said, what do you want to do? And I said, everything. And we did. I went to Masada. I went to the Red Sea.
Did you have the old general as a guide?
No, I had Avi and his brother Yossi, and then I had Sharif on Sabbath. And I talked to my interview with the victims of terror will be on my program tomorrow, which is probably the best set of interviews I've ever done. I went to an Arab Israeli school, the Knesset, which I'm sure you did, King David's Palace, because I was an archaeologist. So, and I have to tell you, Doug, I am, you know, religion is not, to be quite honest, is just not one of the things in my life that.
It's important.
Yeah, it isn't.
Neither is it.
But I went to the Wailing Wall and started crying.
Yeah.
I went to the Tomb of the Sepulchre and started crying.
The energy is amazing.
It was an amazing experience. I really encourage anybody to go, although I think Doug and I probably have the experience. It's like when my mom comes to New York, she said, I love New York. I said, Mom, you have no idea what New York is. You just have an idea what I show you in New York.
Tourist. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I am sorry for the lives I've taken. That's what Mr. Saneyev said yesterday, apologizing to the victims and their families for the first time. What weight does this carry, this I'm sorry about the lives I've taken? There's another Arnold Schwarzenegger says he's sorry for the trouble he caused his marriage. It was his fault.
All right, let me look at it for you a couple of ways. First of all, I'm sorry is better than nothing.
Right.
But it's not good enough. I'm sorry I tripped over your Uzi, maybe one thing. I'm sorry I killed somebody. What is that about? I think that somehow, it's like I worked with one of our sponsors once and we had a grovel bouquet because I sort of feel like the apology has to be commensurate with the problem. Mm-hmm. That, as I said, if you break a glass at a dinner party, I'm sorry I replace it. But the apology has to reflect the degree and the intensity of the offense. And saying I'm sorry I killed somebody, oh please. Saying I'm sorry because.
But what do you do? What else do you say? Or what other actions
do you
take?
I don't know. That's a question. I think first of all there has to be first realistically. On a universal level, there is nothing that will replace. Some people are much better at forgiveness than others, but saying, I will dedicate the rest of my life to trying to make this up to you, I will give away my fortune, I will somehow dedicate my life to show you that this was a tragic mistake, and I will spend the rest of my days trying to make it okay. As I think we need that in addition to the words, because the words are better than nothing. But it has to be commensurate with whatever the assault was. And saying I'm sorry I killed somebody, probably not enough.
Mm. Have you ever been faced with this yourself? How did you handle it?
Saying I'm sorry? I've never killed anybody.
No, that's good to know.
No, but sure. I mean, I think all of us, we're human beings. We make mistakes. And, you know, I mean, probably my most thing, I tend to try really hard not to be grieved. I'll tell you, once I sneezed on somebody accidentally. I mean, I just came out of nowhere and I sneezed. And they and I said, I'm so sorry. Let me give you a Kleenex. You know, what can I do to make this okay? And what can I do to make this okay is not a bad way of showing your sincerity about sorry.
What can I do to make this okay?
Yeah. Is there anything I can do? Tell me what I can do to make this okay for you.
What do you think?
To make it better.
Maria Shriver said to Arnold when he asked that question.
She said, cut off, what's his name? Probably would have
talked about Bobbitt.
Just a thought.
Yeah, 21 after Dr. Joy Brown with us here on Good Day.